A faithful man will abound with blessings, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. Proverbs 28, verse 20. Hi, I'm Rob West. Powerball jackpots and scratch-off tickets might seem like a shortcut to financial freedom, but should Christians be buying in? Dr. David W. Jones returns to our financial ethics series today to help us think biblically about the lottery and whether it aligns with a life of faithful stewardship. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we're honored to have Dr. David W. Jones back with us again today. He's a senior professor of Christian ethics at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and the author of Every Good Thing, which explores wealth, stewardship, and poverty from a biblical worldview. David, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. It's good to be here.
David, as you know, last week we explored the ethics of giving to the homeless, and today we turn to something that seems harmless to many but raises significant ethical concerns, and that is playing the lottery. Of course, we've seen over recent years that lottery jackpots have climbed past $1 billion, and it's sparked conversation among believers. So I want to begin with the big picture. What does God's Word teach about the desire to get rich quickly, and how might that inform the way Christians view the lottery?
Yeah, it's so important, Rob, that we think in biblical categories about poverty and wealth. And a few verses that come to mind. In Proverbs 13:11, Solomon wrote and said that wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. And then the writer of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 13:5, wrote, and he warned us and said, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with that which you have, for God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And I think both these verses just, they speak to the idea of the importance of work and of contentment.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Now, the lottery often markets itself as a way to dream big or change your life, but I know you've written that financial choices reveal what we treasure most. We talk about that a lot on this program. So what might a Christian's participation in the lottery, David, reveal about what's going on in the heart?
You know, it's important that we maybe make a distinction between, you know, having a desire to materially flourish. I mean, I think certainly all of us would prefer, blessings over cursings. And certainly we feel a duty to provide materially for our families. And that could be a good thing. But when that actually changes over and becomes an idol, and we start to lust after material things, I think that shows that our hearts become off. And the best way to monitor what's in our heart is by looking at our words and looking at what our hands are doing. Proverbs 23:7, Solomon taught that our actions reveal our hearts. He wrote, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And then later on, Christ, probably with that proverb in mind, in Matthew 12:34, Christ taught that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so for those who play the lottery and are trying to increase their riches and change their life and to dream big, it might show a discontentment in the heart, maybe an unhealthy fixation on wealth.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Now, that leads to the practice of someone who's considering playing the lottery or maybe does occasionally, and they might say, "Well, David, it's just for fun." How would you respond to that? And is there a line where playing the lottery crosses from entertainment into something more spiritually harmful?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rob. And I think it maybe we need to make a distinction here between somebody who, say your uncle gets you a scratch-off ticket, for your birthday, is it sinful, to scratch it off, and see if you've won $20 or not? I think that would be different from somebody that has a habitual weekly, gambling engagement. And so maybe we could say that it might not be inherently wrong, to play the lottery on occasion. But of course, just because something is permissible, doesn't mean that it's wise. And I think we could certainly say that, playing the lottery, gambling, it's never turned anyone into a better person.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And then there's the whole issue and ethics behind, do we want to be involved in an industry that's harming so many people, whether it's for our entertainment or not? We'll continue to unpack this with David W. Jones just around the corner. Should Christians play the lottery? Much more on that straight ahead. Following this interview, your questions today at 800-525-7000, or you can always email us your question at askrob@faithfi.com. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you could invite any three people in history to a dinner party, who would you pick? If you were a first century Jew, it would be hard to beat Moses, Elijah, and the promised Messiah. And in Matthew 17, that's exactly who Peter, James, and John see standing in front of them on the mountaintop. Understandably, they get pretty excited about this development, but then a bright cloud overshadows them, and the voice of God speaks, and they fall on their faces in terror. And then it says, Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And it says that when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one, but Jesus only. Anchor Devotional can help you keep your eyes on Jesus daily. Get started today. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Wondering who Faith and Finance recommends as a banking partner that aligns with Christian values? It's Christian Community Credit Union. When you open a high-yield checking, savings, or Visa cashback card, you'll help advance the gospel when making everyday transactions. Visit faithfi.com/banking and use code FAITHFI when you sign up. That's faithfi.com/banking with code FAITHFI. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're in the midst of a financial ethics series. We're talking today specifically about, should Christians play the lottery? We're joined by Dr. David W. Jones. He's back with us again today. He's senior professor of Christian ethics at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. He's also the author of Every Good Thing, which explores wealth, stewardship, and poverty from a biblical perspective. I'd highly encourage you to pick it up. David, as we continue this conversation about the lottery, which at its core is this idea of getting rich quick without any work, let's talk about just a biblical perspective of work and flourishing and what God intended for us to be as co-creators with Him, created in His image.
Hey, you know, Rob, if we kind of look at maybe kind of one of the underlying issues or problems with the lottery, it goes all the way back to God's design for mankind. That we read in Genesis 1:28, that God made us in His image, and being made in God's image, it means a lot of things. But one of the things that it means in a foundational way is that we are to in a sense to function like God. In Genesis 1, God's a creator, And then he goes and he tells mankind, I want you then to procreate. I want you to labor and function and in many ways sort of act like me. And this is part of God's divine design for his creatures, is that we would labor, that we would work. And then as we labor and work, we would produce and we would flourish. And so this is underlying design for humanity. And a problem with the lottery is it creates flourishing without work, yes. which is a violation of that principle. And so we can see this sort of in a very easy way. I mean, just I think of just even an hour ago here in my office, I heard someone's tires screeching, you know, out on the road. And I thought to myself, well, you know, someone's father is still paying for their tires, right? Because, you know, and it's that teenager, you know, didn't labor for yes. the production for the tires on their car, hence they're abusing them. And the same thing happens in so many different ways. And even more so in the lottery when the stakes are so much higher, when, you know, there can be hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars that someone gets. When we look at, you know, the results, what happens to lottery winners, we see that oftentimes there's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of bankruptcy, yes. A lot of other sin that comes into it. And it all goes back to this divine principle of we were designed to bear God's image, to work and labor. And that's how we're supposed to flourish and produce. Mm. We weren't made to just receive production and to flourish apart from labor.
That is so well said. You know, we came out with a study here at FaithFi recently called Wisdom Over Wealth, a deep dive into the book of Ecclesiastes. And the author, John Cortinas, makes the point in the book that when wealth increases faster than wisdom, we're in a danger zone. But when wisdom outpaces wealth, we're in a good position.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. I think in my mind, I just had jotted down earlier, Ecclesiastes 3, 12 and 13. There in Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, I perceive that there is nothing better for men than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Yeah. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their work, yes. for this is God's good gift to man. Mm. And so that's this divine principle that we're talking about.
I love that. Let's talk about just participating in the system that's behind lottery. You know the statistics, they're staggering. The poorest third of Americans buy more than half of all lottery tickets, and those making under $10,000 spend about 6% of their income on them. Does that raise ethical concerns for believers, not just about participation, but support for systems that clearly exploit the poor?
Yeah, you know, it's we said earlier, you know, just because something is, you know, permissible, it doesn't mean it's wise. And we could even expand that and say just because something is legal, I mean, doesn't mean that it's moral. Yeah. So in regard to things like the lottery, the question is, it's not, you know, can I do it? But the question really is, you know, should I do it?
Yes.
And a part of the answer to that, it's these things that you brought up, Rob. It's, well, you know, who's being affected by what I'm doing? What's going on in this larger industry that I'm voluntarily perhaps participating in? And beyond that, what's happening to those who are watching and those who are maybe seeing me participate? And when we just look at the incredible negative effect that it has, that the lottery gambling has on the poor, you know, in many ways, it's... the lottery, it's a redistributive tax from the yeah. poor to the rich into the state. I think in other ways, the lottery becomes very predatory upon the most financially vulnerable in our society. And so if that's the case, I think Christians really may need to think long and hard about, is it really glorifying to God if I participate in this enterprise, or might it be better to abstain from it?
Yes. Now, on the flip side of that is, should we take the benefits that come from the lottery? So I'm here in the state of Georgia. Our Georgia lottery collects over $1 billion a year. Half of that, I think about two thirds, maybe three quarters, goes to the winnings and the administration, but a third of it goes to, you know, college subsidies and scholarships and grants. My two boys, one who's in college now at the University of Georgia, one who's on his way, are going to get 100% of their tuition covered because they've worked hard, and that's going to come directly from the lottery. How do we think about that as Christians?
You know, it's I think that in a sense there may be some room here for for disagreement among Christians. That certainly I have friends who would say, you know, in good conscience, I could not receive such monies. And yeah. Here in my state of North Carolina, we have the North Carolina Education Lottery. It's very similar to Georgia, where it's pretty much the same kind of setup. And I have folks who they won't take the money just because of a conscience sort of decision. There are other Christians who I know that have no problem with it at all. And just, their take is, hey, we live in the fallen world and it's full of fallen structures. And as long as I'm not actually endorsing it or facilitating it, then it would be okay to do that. I think there's probably room there for disagreement. I think what I would want to affirm is an awareness of what's going on. And I think certainly with our eyes open and knowing what's part of the systems that we participate in, I think that's what we need to process as we stand before the Lord.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful. David, we've got just less than a minute left. What would you say to someone in our listening audience who's feeling convicted today and maybe still struggling with the temptation of playing the lottery? What might you encourage them with?
Yeah, certainly. Playing the lottery, whether it's just an occasional thing or even if someone has a weekly habit, for someone who's convicted that's wrong, I think in regard to any other sin, 1 John 1:9 applies. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it's not the unpardonable sin. And for somebody that has perhaps erred, certainly repentance would be appropriate. And as with all sins, accountability and local church involvement is going to be essential.
Yeah, that's well said. Boy, what a gift to have you with us, David. Thanks for helping us think more deeply and biblically about these important issues.
Thanks, Rob. It's good to be here.
That's David W. Jones, Senior Professor of Christian Ethics at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Pick up his book, Every Good Thing, where you buy books. We'll be back with your questions after this break. So call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Or if you'd prefer to email your questions, send it to us at askrob@faithfi.com. Stick around.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll hear about a homeless ministry in Denver that's reaching thousands for Christ and getting some fierce opposition. Jamie Sanchez of Recycling God's Love will be our guest.
When you go help homeless, they're pretty respectful and they receive your love and they're thankful. And I come out here and I'm trying to open this to help the homeless and I'm just getting attacked, like so much hate towards us.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
In a recent survey of 1,200 left-of-center American adults, 55% responded that assassinating Donald Trump could be justified. We're swimming in shark-infested cultural waters. Some are suffering from Christianophobia. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. Please give today to help AFA keep equipping you and others to stand for Christ. Help us shine his light into our dark culture. Visit afa.net/warrior.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Hi, I'm Riley Wellman, director of the AFA Foundation. One of my main things that I like to do is visit with our supporters, whether it's traveling or just on the phone. We just love to meet with people, and if they have a complicated situation, we would love to sit down and talk with them. You can visit us at afafoundation.net or give us a call at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, it's time to take your calls and questions today here in just a moment. So now is the time to call. If you have something on your mind in your financial life, we'd love to tackle it with you, help you process it through biblical wisdom. That is the principles that we find in God's Word, those 2,300 verses that deal with money and possessions, those 21 core teachings about money we find in the Old and the New Testament, really that unpack the heart of God as it relates to this good gift that is not supposed to satisfy us. Only God satisfies, but it is to be a delight, something that we use as a tool to glorify God, accomplish His purposes, yes, to enjoy, but also to give away generously, to deploy as capital into businesses, creating human flourishing, providing goods and services that are good and serve people. And that means we have to do certain things like living within our means and avoiding debt and setting long-term goals and having some margin or some liquidity, something left over at the end of the month. And yes, giving generously. And then navigating some of these questions that come up along the way, like today's topic where we started with Dr. Jones on should Christians play the lottery? I hope that was encouraging to you. And you know, today we want to do just that. We want to walk alongside you as you seek to be found faithful as a steward of God's resources. So no matter what you have on your mind today in your financial life, we're here to help. You can call right now. Our team is standing by. The lines will fill up. So now's the chance to get in the queue. Go ahead and call 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. 7,000. You can call right now. In the news today, Americans are feeling a bit better about their financial situation, according to a new survey from the New York Federal Reserve. It found that overall confidence in household finances improved in June, even as concerns were made about some key expenses. Inflation expectations for the next year fell to 3%, down from 3.2% in May, suggesting Americans are feeling less anxious about price increases. The official CPI shows inflation now at 2.4% as of May. Job security concerns remain low, with fewer people fearing they might lose their income or be unable to find work. But there's still some anxiety about several spending categories, with respondents expecting as they look at their situation, they are expecting higher costs ahead for gas, medical care, rent, and college tuition specifically. Perceptions of credit access improved, with fewer people reporting difficulty getting loans or credit cards. And then finally, the average expected credit card interest rate hit 24.6%. That's the highest since the Fed began tracking it in 2012, making borrowing extremely expensive. So Americans may be adjusting to a new financial normal where inflation is easing, but borrowing remains costly. That means it's a good time to take a look at your budget, shore up your emergency fund. We always recommend 3 to 6 months living expenses in it. And then do whatever you can to avoid borrowing and especially avoid using credit cards if you don't pay off the entire balance each month. Your perspective should be an eternal one, seeing God as your ultimate treasure, money a tool, not something that's supposed to be a burden or cause a lot of weight or anxiety, but something that should be able to be handled with joy to glorify God. But we can only do that when we live according to those principles that God lays out for us in His Word. I hope that's encouragement to you today. All right, we're ready to dive into your phone calls. The lines are nearly full. I've got one line open, 800 525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin in Virginia today. Hi, Len. How can I help you?
Hi. I just have a quick question for you, please. I have a charge card that I pay off every month for my major purchases, but I also have a debit card from the bank, and I use that for everyday little groceries and things like that. I've been told that it's dangerous to use a credit card, a debit card, and they're saying that I should switch to a credit card for those things too. What would your advice be?
Yeah, it's a great question. There are pros and cons to both. We usually recommend a credit card for your daily purchases as long as you are using it only for budgeted items and you pay it off in full at the end of the month. The reason I prefer the credit card is it can build your credit score if used responsibly. It does offer, and this is a big one, better fraud protection. So you're not out the money while it's being investigated. So usually, if there's a fraudulent charge and you identify it on a timely basis and report it, you never have any money that leaves your account. It's essentially, on your record there until it's reversed, but you're never out the money. As opposed to a debit card, which when they fraudulently access your account, the money is taken out of your account physically. Now, it could be recovered, and if you report it and they have fraud protection and they investigate it, the money could come back in. But while you're waiting for that to happen, the money is out of your account, which has implications. Namely, if you have some automatic transactions, those could overdraw you. You don't have access to the money, those types of things. So I think that's where it provides a little bit, better fraud protection with the credit versus the debit. The other benefits of the credit card are, you can earn rewards like cash back or points. And, I think it, can help you with budgeting if it's paid off monthly. So, I'm not against debit cards at all. I just think that the less robust fraud protection compared to credit cards and the fact that, you're not out the money while the issue is being resolved is a big benefit to the credit. And the secondary factor would be that it doesn't build your credit score. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's the way I was thinking about it. Are there any fees usually attached to a credit card that I'm just going to use instead of a debit card?
There certainly can be, but I would recommend you only use a credit card that is fee-free. And there are plenty of them out there. There are plenty of them, especially if you have a good credit score. You should be able to qualify for a card that has no monthly fees whatsoever and offers, I would look for something that has at least 2% cash back. The place to go to evaluate the best credit card for you, Lynn, I'll give you two websites. One is nerdwallet.com, kind of a funny name, nerdwallet.com. The other is bankrate.com. They all, on a daily basis, rate the credit cards and will tell you which one, based on the kind of rewards you're looking for, is the best one for you. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has shared good news with investors and advisors by offering faith-honoring mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners Limited and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC. Investing involves risks, including possible loss of principal.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
We work, we earn, we save. But is that all there is? The Book of Ecclesiastes gives us an entirely new perspective on money that impacts our day-to-day lives. Faith Vice Study, Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons from Ecclesiastes on Money, unpacks life-changing biblical truths about wealth, work, and contentment. This resource will help you grow in how you handle wealth with wisdom and deepen your trust in God. Purchase your copy today or place a bulk order at faithfi.com/shop.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Feeling burdened by credit card debt? As faithful stewards, we are called to manage our finances wisely. Christian credit counselors can help with a debt management program that allows you to pay off debt up to 80% faster, while honoring your commitments with integrity. Don't let debt hold you back from the life God has planned for you. Take the first step toward peace and financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. But what a blessing that you've tuned in today. I hope we can be an encouragement to you in your journey to be a wise and faithful steward. You can do that when you call right now, especially if you have a question in your financial life. I've got a couple of lines open. The number to call to get in on the conversation, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to South Carolina. Hi, Junior. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning. My name is Junior, and I would like to ask a question about an immigrant that doesn't have a active, legal immigrant, but I would like to purchase a handyman stuff, not a handyman, online eBay, online selling stuff. I would like to ask you if that would be, how would I go about doing taxes, or if it's legal to do eBay selling app?
Yeah. Well, it's a good question. And let me just say right up front, I'm not an attorney, and ultimately I would consult an immigration attorney on this, but I will just tell you, kind of generally speaking, if your visa or work permit has expired and you no longer have a valid work authorization, unfortunately, you cannot legally perform any work. And that is, you know, even doing handyman jobs or operating an online business. You know, this holds true even if you're working under a 1099 contract. Illegal work is illegal regardless of the classification. So what you would need to do is renew that visa or work permit, or switch that category of visa to one that permits self-employment. And those are available. You know, even if your plan seems harmless, really any active work, based on my understanding, without valid authorization, you know, does risk serious consequences. And so I think, you know, to do the right thing, I would either consult an immigration attorney to find the best route forward. There's also legal aid organizations that work with immigrants. You could do a search for one in your area, and they can help you explore the options for visa renewal or adjustment of status or other legal pathways. But I would say don't go it alone. The laws are complicated, and the consequences for missteps can be severe, including future bans on reentering the U.S. So it's worth getting some sound legal advice. And I realize, you know, that doesn't come without a cost. And so, you know, if you're out of work, that can be challenging. But I would love for you to do this the right way. And I appreciate that you want to honor the Lord in that as well.
Yes, that's the reason why I am inquiring. If it is a country, because it's online, that's the reason why I consider. I really want to get advice, because you know, you can read the signs and you're free to wear an ox.
Yes. Yeah. I totally understand that, and I admire your approach here, and so I think the next step is for you to seek some legal assistance, either through a legal aid organization or an immigration attorney. If you're a part of a local church, maybe you call them and ask for a referral. If they have someone in the church that provides these services in the community, might be a good first step. But, Junior, I know this is a difficult situation. I'd be delighted for you to find a path forward here, and we'll certainly be praying for you in that regard. But I appreciate you calling today, sir. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Rebecca. How can I serve you?
Hi. I am going back to work. My daughter is in high school, and I'm looking for a place to high interest rate place to put my money for her for college. We already have a college fund for the bulk of it, but this is now that I'm working, I want to supplement that. I understand that S-Gov, like treasury bills, they compound monthly, but I've also heard you mention on your show Betterment. Can you give me some advice?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And it really does come down to the time horizon and the risk versus the return potential. Because, you know, well, let me start there. What is the time horizon? How old is she?
She's 16. She's got two more years. She'll be going off to school in 2.5 years.
Okay. Yeah. So in that case, I mean, if this is money that you're going to start spending right away and that, you know, it could start as soon as 24 months from now. And let's say this whole account that you're putting money away into is exhausted within 6 years by the time she graduates, that really is, you know, a short enough time frame that I would not be looking to put it into stocks, which if you were to use a Betterment strategy, you know, they would have a mix of stocks and bonds. And so I don't think, just given the prospect that with that time frame, you know, let's say a couple of years from now we're in a recession and let's say the market's down 20 or 30%, you know, and all of a sudden you're having to sell those investments at a loss because you've got expenses coming due. That's the situation we want to try to avoid. So I think you're on the right track there with probably a high yield savings account. What do you have as the, you mentioned that you already have a main college fund. Is that in a 529 plan or something else?
No, my husband has that in stocks, and that's been growing since she was born. So
okay.
We have a nice chunk for her, for the bulk, you know, between that and any scholarship money she gets, she's going to be fine. But now that I'm going back to work, I'm like, okay, well, I can set aside a portion of that, you know, for her, because if she's not working when she's in school, at least she'll have spending money, things, you know, like that. So I was just looking for a high yield, and I've heard about, you know, treasury bonds, you know, those are short term, correct? And they have a higher yield, right? So I wanted your advice on that.
Yeah, I would probably just use a high yield savings account rather than trying to buy some short term bonds. You know, I think that could be a better option for you, and especially with rates still pretty attractive right now. So I would go to bankrate.com. That may be the website you were remembering me mention, because you could go in there and just click on high yield savings and find the online bank or credit union that has, you know, the very best rates right now. If you want one that shared your values, you could connect with Christian Community Credit Union. They have a special $400 bonus for FaithFi listeners right now with the keyword FaithFi. You could go to faithfi.com/banking to learn more. But, you know, I think that would give you the safety that you're looking for. You know, you'd still be getting an interest rate of 4%+. With Christian Community Credit Union, you could be earning as much as 5%. And it's fully liquid and insured. So, you know, you wouldn't have any worry about the money being available when you need it. And although that's not going to give you a ton, at least you're getting some interest on it. But the key is the liquidity and the safety is really what you're looking for money you're trying to sock away that might be used in the next couple of years. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, those websites are faithfi.com/banking. If you want to check out Christian Community Credit Union, the other is bankrate.com. Just click on high yield savings, and you can see all the online banks and the various interest rates that they're offering. But sounds like you're well planned, Rebecca, and we appreciate you checking in with us. Call anytime. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. I've got several lines open, and we'd love to hear from you today as we help you navigate what God has on your heart as you seek to be faithful in what he's entrusted to you. When we come back from the next break, we're going to talk to Nancy in Tennessee. Her daughter borrowed some money from her to fix up her home. She's not pleased with the repairs and wants to pay her mom back, and her mom's wondering, should she take the payment, given that she's not happy with the repairs. We'll talk about that. Tony's in Canada, wants to talk about a rental property and some implications of the rental income he's been receiving, and perhaps your question as well. Again, that number to call right now, 800-525-7000. We've still got one more segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Hey, by the way, if you haven't checked out our new study, Wisdom Over Wealth, we'd love for you to check it out today. Just go to faithfi.com and click shop. We took a deep dive in our latest study into the book of Ecclesiastes, and it is a powerful look at this really incredible wisdom book in God's Word and how it relates to our money journey. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The term providence means God's superintending care over his creation.
America's Providential History with Stephen McDowell.
God is at work performing his will in history. And so through this podcast, we're going to be taking a look at the providence of God in the history, and in particular in the history of America.
America's Providential History, available now on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Life can be hard, but we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. I'm Christy Graham, host of On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, and I want to encourage you in your walk with God. Listen each week as we go behind the scenes of our work around the world. You'll be challenged and encouraged in your own faith as you hear how God is actively changing lives. Join us for On the Ground with Samaritan's Purse, Sundays at 8:30 a.m. Central, right here on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. We've got room for one or two more before we round out the broadcast today. If you have a financial situation you're wrestling with in your life, call right now, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Tennessee. Hi, Nancy. How can I help?
Just repeated my story there. My daughter borrowed some money, and she had some work done in her house. She was, going to pay me back. And then she told me recently she really didn't care for what the man, how his repair was made. And I'm wondering, I want her to be responsible, but at the same time, she's my daughter and I love her. Should I take the money from her to pay me back? She's been saving it up out of each paycheck.
Yeah.
And she's got enough right now to pay about half of it back. And I'm wondering, this is bothering me. And is it bothering me because I'm being wrong, or is it right for me to expect her to pay me back?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that's a kind and sensitive question. I know we love our kids and we want to right by them, help them when we can, but also teach important lessons. And I think this is maybe the category this falls in, because I would say, at the end of the day, whether your daughter is pleased with the work or not, really in no way changes her obligation and commitment to pay you back if she promised to do so. And I appreciate that she's been responsible to set that money aside so she has the means to repay you. And I would say that's the right thing to do. And I think it will help her just, you know, learn an important lesson about honoring her obligations. And obviously, you know, she's in no way trying to get out of it. But I think, you know, even this is going to happen throughout her life where, you know, we're going to contract for somebody to do work for us or, you know, hire somebody or buy a product. And we may be left unsatisfied with what we paid for it, which is a good reminder that we need to do our due diligence and read reviews. And even to the best of our ability, you know, oftentimes things will fall short of our expectations, but that doesn't change really our commitment to, you know, make good on our obligations and honor our agreements. And so, you know, I think that's the issue here is that you can feel good about, you know, her and how this all went down, you helping her, her saving to be able to pay, and then her honoring that obligation. Now, as a result of, you know, your compassion toward her, if you wanted to, you know, help her make that right and come back, you know, alongside it as a gift, or say, you know, if there's a way to remedy the work that was done, you know, maybe you say, listen, I appreciate that you, you know, saved up to repay me. You know, I want to take half of it and allow you to keep it and get this fixed right, just as a blessing to you. But I don't think there's anything that should cause you any kind of concern, you know, around accepting repayment. And I think it actually teaches a really important lesson about honoring our obligations. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. You've eased to my heart, and I may just take half of the money and let her keep the rest. Thank you so much.
All right, Nancy. Lord bless you. You sound like a wonderful mom. We appreciate your call today. Let's see. We're going to go to Texas. Jeff, how can we help you?
Yes, sir. I was trying to figure out where I want to buy silver, but silver that I have in hand, not in investment, but not in a stocks or anything. And I'm just trying to figure out where is the best place to go. Because if you look online, there's 1,001 places, and I just want to make sure I'm getting the right place. And then I do have a second question after that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you've got a couple of options. One is, you know, if you are going to use an online dealer to, you know, make that transaction for you, I would just read a lot of reviews because you're right. There are a lot of them and there are some bad actors in this space. I know, you know, if it was gold, Costco actually has a pretty attractive one. They have trouble keeping them in stock just because, you know, they're so popular. You know, they have been selling gold, and I think they may actually sell silver as well. And so that would be one where you're, you know, getting it from a trusted seller. Just because, you know, this is obviously a national retailer and they do a 1 ounce gold bar. You know, I think the other option would be to do your homework online and see what you can find. I'd be happy to connect with you with somebody personally if you want to hang on the line. And I could give you a trusted partner that I'm aware of that could help you, you know, make the purchase.
All right, sir. Second quick question is mother passed away, getting ready to inherit some money, and I'm just trying to figure out what kind of tax implications there are with that.
Yeah, there shouldn't be any in tax implications. If there were any, it would be paid by the estate prior to the inheritance. But just given where we are right now with the tax code, you know, you've got to get above a $13 million estate before there's any federal estate taxes. And that in the new you know, one big beautiful bill that President Trump just signed into law, that goes up to $15 million. So there's not any federal inheritance tax for most people or estate tax, and there is no federal inheritance tax. Now, there could be a state inheritance tax, so you just want to check on that, but I don't think there is one in Texas, so you should not have any tax implications whatsoever.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. Yeah. I appreciate
it. All right. Very good. We appreciate your call, Jeff. And if you want to stay on the line, we'll get your information and get you connected with somebody who can help you on the precious metals. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Jeff. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, sir. I got like $76,000 in a savings account. I own two houses. I've got like $40,000 on a CD, and I've got over $100,000 in cash saved. My wife and I work both full time. We don't owe anybody anything. And I was just wondering, what's the best way to invest as we grow older? You know, one day we're going to get older, going to need health care and probably home care. What is the best way to save and make it grow interest or compound interest?
Yeah. Well, you sound like you're in a really strong position here. You've got plenty of cash, no debt, obviously a good bit of savings and a CD. What are your ages?
59 and 54.
Okay. And do you have access to a retirement plan at work, either of you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. We both do.
All right. And are you participating in those?
Yes, sir. We participate in those.
Okay. So what percent of your income are you putting into those, right, each paycheck?
We try to put 15% each week on both checks.
All right. And is that in addition to the numbers you just rattled off with the savings and the CDs and the cash?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. So what do you have in, if you were to combine all of the assets in the 401k, what do you have today?
I probably would say pretty close to 400,000.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. And do you have a good feel for, you know, what you should expect? Have you checked out your Social Security benefit?
I have not checked out any Social Security benefit.
Okay.
None
yeah. So I would look at that. Because you could go to mysSA.gov and get a feel for, based on your work record, if it just continues to trend the way it has, you know, what you would expect to get, both you and your wife, on each of your work records at full retirement age, which is probably 67 for you. And then if you wait until age 70, if you guys are going to continue to work, you know, that long and you delay it, you'd get a check about 25% higher, 25% higher than what your full retirement age benefit is projected to be at mysSA.gov, which would lock in that, you know, pretty considerably higher check for the rest of your life. So that would give you kind of one of the things you need to solve for, which will help you determine, you know, how much more you need to be able to generate in monthly income to cover your lifestyle. Most people live on about 70 to 80% of their pre-retirement income in retirement because, you know, we're not saving for retirement. Remember, you're putting 15% away. That goes away. You know, maybe you don't eat out as much. You'd have less in fuel costs and work clothes, things like that. So you put all that together. Most people live on about 70 to 80% of what they were spending on a monthly basis. So if you were to use that as a ballpark and say, okay, you know, this is what we need on a monthly basis. And then you look at what Social Security is going to contribute to that, either at full retirement age or that higher amount if you wait till age 70, then the gap is what you're ultimately trying to solve for by way of your retirement savings. Now, a common rule of thumb is that you need to save about 10 to 12 times your annual income by the time you retire. So if you're making $775,000 a year, you would aim to have around $750,000 saved. And the reason for that is that would allow us to pull 4% a year, which would be about $30,000. And when you add Social Security to it, and then you consider the fact that you'd live on maybe 80% of that, you know, income you had, that should essentially give you enough on a monthly basis to cover your living expenses and never see that principal decline. Because if you only pull 4% a year and it's invested properly, fairly conservatively, but with some exposure to stocks, you should be able to essentially maintain that principal balance and pull that income every year, which would allow you to enjoy, you know, living your current lifestyle, but essentially never run out of money. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does. It does.
Okay.
One quick question, too. In my Roth IRA, I've always committed to. I'll be turning 59 this month. When they say when you turn 59 and a half, you could pull that money with no penalty. Is that true?
It is. Yes, sir. So you could pull it out as long as it's been in there at least 5 years and you're 59 and a half, you can start to tap into that money tax-free. You already paid the tax on the amount you contributed, but the benefit is you can start pulling the growth out too. And again, no tax as long as it's been open 5 years and you're over 59 and a half.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure that was true. Okay.
Yep. All right. So I think your next step is to do some homework and start to put together your retirement budget to determine how much you need on a monthly basis, figure out how much you're going to get from Social Security, and then figure out how much you need to save so that you can hopefully pull out no more than 4% a year equal to the gap between Social Security and what you're going to ultimately need each month to fund your living expenses. Hope that helps, Jeff. Thanks for your call. Big thanks to my team today. I'm out of time. Devin Patrick, Sandy Dickinson, and Jim Henry helping me here today, and everybody here at FaithFi. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.